some of the sin,
Perushabatsav is like one is giving a lecture and someone is listening, is taking notes, and he just writes Rashi Prakim. He doesn't write word for word what the speaker says. When the person looks at his notes, so he can remind himself of what's all to fill in all the missing points. So the Perushabatsav is dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way, Malei Chaser with extra phrases and switching from singular to plural and masculine to feminine and so on, that this should remind all of us of all of the extra parts, that it should enable us to read in between the lines. In Kabbalah Svarim, in the Zohar, another Kabbalah Svarim, it's assumed that it's not exactly like that. There's a famous Rush in Bava Kamma, in the second parak, where the Rush makes a suggestion that maybe when you have a halacha Moshe Misinai, it's always lahakil. He suggests maybe there's no such thing as halacha Moshe Misinai lahakna, always lahakil. And he quotes a Gemara in Sukkah, that the Gemara says, we learn that from the Pesukim in the Chumash, that the Sukkah has to have three defanas, three walls. But we know that there's halacha Moshe Misinai. So the halacha Moshe Misinai tells us to chisel away on the third wall, it's sufficient if you have shtayim kelchosam at a right angle to each other, that's called kelchosam, ushlishas hafilu tefach. So the Gemara in Sukkah raises the possibility. There's one time it says you have to have three walls and the fourth wall a tefach. So the Gemara raises the possibility. Maybe the halacha Moshe Misinai was to add on a little bit. So the Rosh says we don't accept that suggestion. We assume every halacha Moshe Misinai is always lahakel. Why is that? So in Kabbalah they assume that it's not that the Torah Shabbat Peh is just filling in the missing parts of the Torah Shabbat. The Torah Shabbat was given the Midas Adin, and the Torah Shabbat Peh was given the Midas HaChesed, the Midas HaRachman, sort of. Strictly speaking, Rachman means a combination of Chesed and Din. We usually use the expression Rachman to mean identical with Chesed, but in Kabbalah terminology it's not so. Rachman is a pshara between Chesed and Din. Just like Rashi and Chumash points out at the beginning of Bereshis, Bereshis Bor Lakim, it keeps on saying Lakim, 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 until Lord and Marishan is created, then it says Yudke Vavke. So why is this? Because Shem Elakim is Midas Adin. Yudke Vavke is Midas HaChesed. So Mitchila, Rashi quotes in the Medrash, Mitchila Olam HaMachshav Libra Sar Midas Adin. Baruch Hashem originally wanted to create the world of Midas Adin. Then we created Adam HaRishon. He saw that that's impossible. Human beings can't function if you're going to have only strict Din. So Shitei Fimai, he combined with the Din, Chesed, and that's called Rachman. The combination of Chesed and Din is called Rachman. So the same is regarding Torah Shebechsav and Torah Shebal Peh. You have a Pasuk in Chumash, Ayin Tachas Ayin. So the simple Pshat in the Pasuk is, you poke at the guy's eye because he poked out someone else's eye. So the Torah, that's what the Din should have been. That's the Din of Takifu. That's what the Din should have been. It should have been Ayin Tachas Ayin, literally. Torah Shebal Peh softens it and says that it means mammon, that you pay money. Or you have the pasuk, the Gemara points out, you have the pasuk, Aboyim Yakenu, when a person deserves Malkus, so you give him 40 times Malkus, and the Torah Shabbat Peh says, not exactly, only give 39 times Malkus. The Gemara says that a Gabra Rabbah, a great Talmud Chacham, who knows the Koyach of Torah Shabbat Peh, knows how to make things easier, knows how to be makel. That if the pasuk says, Aboyim Yakenu, and the Torah Shabbat Peh, the Rabbanim say, no, you don't give Aboyim Yakenu, give 39. So this is taken as indications that Rosh, but these psukim taken as indications that the Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh, not that it's just Torah Shebichsav is an outline, Torah Shebal Peh just filling in the missing points, that's part of the story, but there's a fundamental difference between the two. Torah Shebichsav is given sort of the Midas Adin, Torah Shebal Peh is another Torah, Torah Soi, that it's to soften the strictness of the Torah Shebichsav. Until the Seder Olam is a history book that was written by the Tana Rabbi Yossi. Gemara quotes Seder Olam. Gemara says whenever they quote Seder Olam, it's Rabbi Yossi. So the Seder Olam has a statement that until the days of the Anshei Knes HaGdolah, until the days of Nevi'im Achronim, until Chagas Chaim Malachi, those were the three Nevi'im who lived at the beginning of the Bayi Sheni period. So the emphasis was placed on Lima Torah Shebichsav. And after that tkufa, mikan v'yelach, after nerevim achroinim, botla nevuah mi-Yisrael, there was no more nevuah, mikan v'yelach, hataz l'choshmat d'rechacham. Now begins the period of the Torah Shabbat Peh. Doesn't mean there was no Torah Shabbat Peh before. Moshe Rabbeinu made drushes. Aaron HaKohen made a kalvachaymer of the Torah Shabbat Peh. When Aaron was an einim, Moshe Rabbeinu said they should eat should have eaten achatos. Aaron made a kalvachaymer. You told us that the einim is not allowed to eat ma'asusheni, which is kal. Kalvachaymer, the einim is not allowed to eat karbonet, which is mochoma. So it's a ba'ita b'einim Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was masking with the kalvachaymer of Aaron HaKohen. So the Chumash records the drasha of the Torah Shabbat Peh. That became Torah Shemazan, because the Moshe told Moshe Rabbeinu to record it in the Chumash. But originally, that was the drasha of Torah Shabbat Peh. In fact, in the Zohar, the Vilna Gaon quotes in the Zohar, they present it as if Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron represent these two Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu represents Torah Shabbat Zav, and Aaron HaKohen represents Torah Shabbat Peh, because he's the one who made the Kalbachayim, and then Moshe Rabbeinu said, hey, that's good. It's a good idea. So the Seder Olam has such an expression. There were drushes of Torah Shabbat Peh. Aaron made a drusha, and Moshe Rabbeinu made drushes of Torah Shabbat Peh. And the Pais Rishon, the Tkufis, there's a Mishnah in Shkalim, Zum Medrash Dorosh, Yahyad HaKohen. Yahyad HaKohen is a biblical figure. He was a Kohen Gadol and Sefer Melachim. There's a drush of Torah Shabbat Peh from him. There were drushes. And there were Dinim Derabbanan in the days of David and Shlomo and so on. There were drushes of Torah Shabbat Peh before the days of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, but the main development of the Torah Shabbat Peh was really later, after the period of Chagas Chaim Malachi. And the Seder Olam presents it as if these are two tkufas in history. That the early tkufa were from Maimon HaSinah till to the days of Chagas Chaim Malachi. The Iker emphasis was placed on Lima Torah Shabbat. This is the period of Torah Shabbat Peh. That's the Gemara in Bava Basra in the first period. The Gemara quotes a pasuk and Novi Gam Ki Itno Bagoyim Ato Akapzeim. It's a difficult pasuk. All the pasukim in the Bim Mitzuma, pasuk of Chumash, also difficult. Got to know. It's very hard, not so easy. In yeshivas, the rabbis usually teach Gemara. They don't teach Tanakh because they know that they don't know Tanakh. We teach Gemara, we fool ourselves into believing that we know Gemara. Tanakh, we know that we don't know, so that's why we don't teach. We should attempt, we should try to learn Tanakh also. So the Gemara has this difficult pasuk, Gam ki yitnu bagoyim ato akapzin. So the Gemara has a tradition, yitnu is miloshem asnisin. When the Jews will learn Mishnayos, then ato akapzin, then we will be zoicha to the gula. Enisol nigolim ala b'schus limud ha-mishnayos. B'schus limud Torah Shabbat. But we live in a generation, to prepare for the gula, we have to emphasize the limud of Torah Shabbat Peh. There are people today who started a whole movement to start learning Torah Shebichsav with original interpretations. I don't go for it. I don't care for it. And this is my impression is that's what the Gemara says, the Gula is going to come in the schools of emphasizing the limit of Torah Shebichsav. It doesn't mean you should neglect Torah Shebichsav totally, but the emphasis now should be placed on the Torah Shebichsav. The Rama wrote a Pirush HaMishnayos, we're all familiar with. And the Pirush HaMishnayos has a big Hakdama, which is a Hakdama to all of Torah Shabbat Peh. And he explains in his Hakdama that there are basically five sections, five parts to the Torah Shabbat Peh. So he says, one part to the Torah Shabbat Peh are the Pirushim HaMukubalim and Moshe Misinai. We have traditions. There are certain words, certain phrases have a certain meaning in every language. There are words that in the dictionary, it says one thing. And then traditionally, there's a phrase that has a certain connotation. I remember that years ago, I used to go to the movies when I was a little boy, so there was a movie about the way the Nazis were trying to break the code of when the American armies were fighting the war with the Germans. So they had the intelligence that the Nazis were trying to break the code of the Americans. So they put everything in code with American expressions, like the Great White Way. They wanted to say that it's snowing somewhere. So the soldiers, they shouldn't send soldiers there. They're not going to write that it's snowing. The Nazis are going to figure out, they're going to break the code. So they wrote everything in American expressions that a foreigner wouldn't know. So that's what the Rambam says. There are Pirushim HaMukubalim L'Moshe Misinai. There are certain words. And we have a tradition that it means a certain thing, even though in the dictionary may not say that. For example, Pri Eitz Hodah, tradition has that, it means an esrog. Why does it mean an esrog? Pri Eitz Hodah means a nice fruit that looks good, looks appealing. Our tradition has it, that's what the word means. There are certain words in Tanakh, there are certain words in Chumash, we have a tradition that's what the pshat is. In the Rambam writes that we have another section of Torah Shabbat Peh is Halachas L'Moshe Misinai. Halacha l'mashe misina means a din where there's no way to read it in between the lines. We have Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Ben. That's the third section. It's also a chelik of Torah Shabbat Peh. So Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Ben. You have Klal HaPrat, Prat HaKlal, Dov Shoyi B'Klal, Yotzman HaKlal HaLamen, and so on. Kriyuk Siv. You have Yeshem LaMikri, Yeshem LaMesaris, Molei Chosan. So many different drushes. Hekish, Smuchin. So many different styles of drushes of Torah Shabbat Peh. But then you have also Halachas l'moshe misina. Halachas l'moshe misina means a din that tefillin has to be black and tefillin has to be squared. There's no way in the world that you can figure this out by reading it between the lines. This is purely halachas l'moshe misina. The Mishnah in the end of the first parak in Chagiga has an expression, het nedarim, hafaras nedarim. If a girl takes a neder, so her father or her husband, if she's married, can be made for the neder. That says in Chumash. That's Torah Shabbat Zah. And Torah Shabbat Peh says that in addition to hafaras nedarim, there's an institution of HaTorah Sendorim. You go to a bezin and you say you made a mistake and so on. If I would have realized that I'm going to get into trouble with this neder, I would not have taken the neder. So if it's really true, if it's not true, so the HaTorah Sendorim is not valid. But if it's really true that if you would have realized what trouble it's going to get into, you wouldn't have taken the neder. So the bezin kenika doesn't become muta by itself. It's not a neder betoes. Because he wasn't thinking at the time. If there's a mistake in the future, that's not called a toys. A guy buys a stock and it goes down. He can't say, if I would have realized the stock was going to go down, I would never have bought it, so therefore I want my money back. He buys a house and the real estate value goes down. So he can't say, if I would have realized. He gets married and then his wife takes sick. So he says, if I would have realized she's going to get so sick, I would have never had married her. That's ridiculous. That's not called a toys. A toys means in the present it's a toys. By Nedarim, it's a special din. HaTorah Nedarim is a Torah Shebal Peh. That if the fellow tells the bezin, if I would have realized, if I would have been thinking at the time, I would have realized that I can get into trouble with this neder, I would really never have taken the neder in the first place. If this is a special din. By Nedarim, bezin says, mutalach, 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 and they're allowed to be matah. Where is the source of HaTorah Nedarim? So the Mishnah, in the end of the first period in Chagiga, writes, Het Nedarim parchem v'avir, v'ilahem ha'meshe yismach. What do you mean parchem v'avir? Is floating in the air. It means that it's only halacha l'moshe misina, that this was transmitted orally from Moshe Rabbeinu to Yeshua, to the Shoftim, to the Zkenim. This was transmitted orally. And Eilan HaMesh Yismach, there's no way to read it in between the lines of the Chumash. And the Gemara there, at the end of the first daf, the end of the first perik in Chagiga, the Gemara quotes other Tanaim who disagree with the Mishnah. The Yeshlam HaMesh Yismach, the other Tanaim think that Het Nedarim can be read in between the lines of the Chumash. So that's a machlek. What's the nature of HaTorah Nedarim? Is it based on the Midrash HaTorah Nedreshes Ben, or is it purely halacha l'moshe misina? So the Rambam explains in the Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnah, halacha l'moshe misina means a din where there's no methodology, there's no means, there's no way to darshan it by reading in between the lines. It's just a oral transmission from generation to generation that this is the din. Then the Rambam gives you a list. He writes, he's going to give you the complete list of all of the halachas l'moshe misina. So he gives you a list that's pretty short. So on the bottom of the page of the Gemara is to tell you, they refer you to the Shuv of the Chavis Yoyer, who points out that the list is so incomplete, it should have been up twice as long, three times as long. Rambam left out so many cases in the Gemara, there seems to be halacha l'moshe misina. So the Netziv, in his Hakdometer, his commentary on the Shiltas, also, he didn't really write a Hakdamah to the Shiltas, he wrote a Hakdamah to the whole Torah Shebal Peh. It's a beautiful Hakdamah. It's called Kidmas HaEmek, because his commentary on the Shiltas is called Hamek She'olam. This is called Kidmas HaEmek. So he suggests that the Rambam, he says, you'll check in the Rambam. Every time it says in the Gemara, Hilchas Gmiri law, so Rashi and Tosfos in the Rosh will always learn that that's Halacha Moshe Misina. So the Rambam is always careful. When it says halacha l'moshe misina, the Rambam writes halacha l'moshe misina. When he writes hilchas gemiri law, gemari gemiri law, the Rambam will always be careful writing pi hashmua lomdu. So he says the Rambam understood that those are not halachas l'moshe misina. What it means is hilchas gemiri law. We have a halacha tradition from an earlier generation that was worked out a few hundred years ago, and we just forgot what the derivation was. But it's not halacha l'moshe misina. It was based on a midah she'atarnid reshus thing, which was forgotten at the days of when Ravina Rav Asher read it to the Talmud Bavli, so they didn't remember what the source was, but there was a source. So that answers most of the kashas. I don't know if it answers all the kashas. It answers many of the kashas of the Chavis Yoyer. So the Rambam is careful. Whenever the Gemara says Gemara Gemiri Lo, Hilchos says Gemiri Lo, the Rambam doesn't call it in the Mishnah Torah. The Rambam doesn't call it Halacha L'moshe Misina. He writes Mipi Hashmua Lomdu. And it means that it's based on the Midrash HaTorah and the Drasha. So again, the Rambam writes that there are five sections, five parts to the Torah Shebaal Peh. One is Pirushim HaMekubalim LaMoshe Nisim. We have traditions that Kapis Tamar means a lulav. Anaf Eitz Obis. How do you know what Anaf Eitz Obis means? It means Hadassim. Arve Nachal means Arovis. Okay? We have a tradition. What the words mean. Without the traditions of the Pirush HaMil, you don't know Bechlal. One of the boys in Yeshiva was telling me he was once touring in Europe with his parents, and there were some Christians together on the same tour. It wasn't a Jewish tour. Then when the Jewish people were davening Shachar, so, well, there was a galach there with the Christians, so he didn't know what tefillin was all about. Talis he saw, he knew. From tefillin he never knew. So they asked him, don't you read the Bibles up there? Yes, yeah, so he showed him in the Bible where it says. He never knew what it meant. And a lot of the Christians now, they want to become closer to Yoshke. So they know Yoshke was an Orthodox Jew. They were not Reform and Conservative Jews then. So they want to shake a lulav, they want to do all the mitzvahs. They don't know the Esther. They don't know what it means, a lulav, an Esther. They never saw it before. If you don't have a tradition, Pirushim, Kabbalah, Moshim, you don't know what the Pirush HaMilus and the Chumash is. That's what the Rambam writes. The first thing in the Torah Shema Peh is Pirushim, Kabbalah, Moshim, Sinai. What the phrases mean. The second is Halachas L'Moshe M'Sinai, that we just have an oral tradition. The third is the Midrash HaTorah Nidresh Hespan. There is a strange machloikis in Gittin Perek HaMizot between Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Lozer, the student of Rabbi Yechanan, where the Rov Torah is B'Chsav, the Rov Torah is Baal Peh. They're arguing based on a pasuk. Nabi Echtav Lo Rubei Terose Halokum Ozar Nechshavu. So Rabbi Yechanan quotes that pasuk. The Rabbanu Shalom says, I'm not going to write, the Rov of the Torah is not going to be B'Chsav. The Rov of the Torah is going to be Torah Shebaal Peh. He says, if the Rov of the Torah would be written Miksab, then the Jewish people will be like strangers. Because the Goyim have a Shlit on the Torah Shebaal Peh. They don't have a Shlit on the Torah Shebaal Peh. Now, unfortunately, they have. They have all the art scrolls. When the art scroll puts out a volume, so the Vatican gets 28 copies, I think, because they have their Galochim sitting and learning. They can't learn Gemara without translation. So they have art scroll all the time. But years ago, the Goyim had no access to the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Torah Shebaal Peh was Baal Peh, wasn't Biksav. So the Rebbeinu Shlom said, if I would write down the Roiv as it is, after the Churban Bayis Sheni, so the Christians claimed that they took over the status of Am HaNivcha, the Jewish people lost their status of Am HaNivcha because we rejected Yoshke. So they claim they're the Am HaNivcha. So they can claim because they have the Bible. So the Rebbeinu Shlom reserved the Torah Shebaal Peh only for the Jewish people. If the Roiv of the Torah would have been Miksav, then the Goyim would claim, the Christians would claim, and they would be able to get away with their claim that they're the true Jews, because they have the whole Torah. Now we have the Roiv of the Torah. That's how Rabbi Yechanan interprets that pasuk. Echtav lo rubei terasi, the Baruch Shalom is speaking, called right, the Roiv of the Torah, 51% of the Torah will be Miksav. Halok mazar nechshav, the Jewish people will be rejected, and the Goyim will be able to tans and claim that they are the Am HaNivchar. So Rabbi Yechanan says, the Roiv of the Torah is Baal Peh. And Rav Lozer says that the Rav Torah is Biksav. You look in any library, walk into the Beis Medrash, they have books all over. So how many books are there in the whole Tanakh? 24 books. Kisra Kodesh, Chav Dal, Kisra Kodesh. How many Svarim and Torah Shebaal Peh? Everything. The Mishnayos and the Sifra and the Sifrei and the Michilta, everything, the whole library is full of Torah Shebaal Peh. How can anybody say that Rav Torah is Biksav? There are only 24 books. Look in any Jewish library. Look in any Jewish home. Tanakh is very small. And the Torah Shebaal Peh is Ruba de Ruba, a whole Torah is Torah Shebaal Peh. How can there be a machlokes on this? So the Prima Godim has an introduction to Torah Shebaal Peh. Prima Godim's introduction is called the Psicha HaKolelos L'Orachai, the general introduction, because he has a separate introduction to Hilchus Tfilah, separate introduction to Hilchus Kriyashma, separate introduction to Hilchus Pesach, and to Hilchus Shabbos, and to Hilchus Basa B'Cholav, separate introduction. Then he has the Psicha HaKolelos L'Orachai, is the general introduction to all of Torah Shebaal Peh. So he starts with this kasha. How can there be a machloikis between Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Lozer and a Perek HaNezok and a Gittin, where the Rav Torah is Bechsav, Rav Torah is Baal Peh? You look in any library, of course the Rav Torah is Baal Peh. So he quotes from the Sefer Be'er Sheva. Be'er Sheva is from the early Akronim, from the 1600s. Be'er Sheva wrote Tosfos on the Mesichtos, but we don't, he is Malakit, or he wrote Tosfos and on the Mesichtos, but we don't have so much Tosfos. So he has the Be'er Sheva and Horius, talks about this kasha. And the Beis Sheva suggests, and he, the Prima Gadim, accepts his answer. He says he thinks the Reiv of the Torah really is all the drushes of the Torah Shebal Peh. Ruba de Ruba, 51%, the majority of all of Torah, of the halachas that were established based on the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaStem. And that's exactly the machlokes between Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Lozer. When you read in between the lines and you come up with a klal, a prat, a klal, or a mole and chaser, all the drushes, you read in between the lines, do they have the status of Torah Shebitzav? Because you're reading it in between the lines. So you say, no, it's in between the lines, it's not written. So that has its status of Torah Shebitzav. The Mai Nafkamina, so he starts rattling off a whole bunch of Nafkaminas, but the something has the status of Torah Shebitzav, the something has the status of Torah Shebitzav. Prima Gadim rattles off. The Be'er Sheva just says that's the Machlek Zav Yechon Reb Lozer. Then the Prima Gadim asks, well, what's the difference Halacha L'Maisa with the Rav Torah Shebitzav Malpeh? He gives you a lot of Nafkaminas. Then the Rambam has another two sections to Torah Shebitzav Malpeh that are very surprising. He says all of the dinim the rabbanim are part of the Torah Shebal Peh. That's very surprising. And then he says dinim the rabbanim are two parts. He says the gzeiros and the takanos. That's number four, number five. Number one is pirushim ha'mukbalim l'moshe v'sina. Number two are halachas l'moshe v'sina. Number three are the drushes of the Torah Shebal Peh reading in between the lines. Numbers four and five are the takanos the rabbanim, the gzeiros the rabbanim, takanos the rabbanim to celebrate Chanukah, to celebrate Purim, to wash mitzvos yadayim. All the dinim derabbanan, and gzeiros derabbanan, not to handle mokta on Shabbos, not to write with your left hand. All the dinim derabbanan, the gzeiros derabbanan. The takanas are the mitzvahs, says the rabbanan, and the gzeiros are the mitzvahs, says the rabbanan. Why does the Rambam include dinim derabbanan in the Torah Shebal Peh? We're talking about Torah Shebal Peh, dinim deraisa. What does he mean? So it would appear from the Rambam's Hagdama in the Pirush HaMishnah that he thinks that all the dinim derabbanan, even though the chayvus agarva, the obligation that you have to observe the mitzvah, is only a rabbinic obligation. The Chayvus Agav is only the Rabbanon. But the dinim the Rabbanon, once they're formulated, become a chelik of the Torah Shebal Peh on the level of their eisen. And when a person will learn these halachas, he's in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah their eisen. Remember, Rav Soloveitchik once made such a comment. He did not refer back to this Hakdamas HaRambam, the Pirush HaMishnayos, but he said the following. Rav Soloveitchik, in addition, used to give a lot of shiurim. He was obsessed with giving shiur. After the war, and so much Torah was destroyed in Europe, and Rabbi Soloveitchik had so much, he had heard so much from his father, from his grandfathers, and from other gedolim he met, he was obsessed, he felt he has to give everything over. So in yeshiva, in my time, he only gave yeshiva 2 days a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, but he used to speak so quickly, and he didn't speak English, he used to talk Yiddish. The Yiddish went faster than English. When he switched into English, it took him longer till he said something. Till he made sure that it was explained. When he spoke in English, he used to rattle off one of the rabbanim from Eretz Yisrael once visited America, and then he came back to Eretz and he was describing Rabbi Soloveitchik's shiur. He says, "Hom avir shiur kemo totach." He gives a shiur like a machine gun. Du-du-du-du-du-du-du. Kept on talking quickly, 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 very fast. So then Rabbi Soloveitchik used to give shiur meposn. He used to give shiur for the Balabatam on Tuesday night. He used to give shiur for the rabbinic alumni and for the rabbinical council of America. He was always giving shiur like an obsession. Has to give over everything that he had. So every Tuesday night, Rabbi Soloveitchik used to be in New York Tuesday and Wednesday, gave shiurim in yeshiva in the morning, and at night on Tuesday he used to give a shiur for Balabatam. So for many years, over 10 years, he used to give a shiur in Gemara Brachas. Then we finished the whole Masechta. So after it took over 10 years, I was in college much of the time. After I finished college, I was free at night, so I used to go on Tuesday night to hear the shiur. But then, When they made the seal, so they charged a lot of money. It was a catered affair, so I couldn't afford it. So the Balabatim were very nice. I used to go with Michal Shurkin. So Michal Shurkin is a Rebbe here in Eretz Yisrael, his own yeshiva. So the Balabatim were nice. So they said, they're going to pay for us. So we should be the guests. We should be their guests at this catered afleshiv dinner. And Rabbi Soloveitchik spoke on the occasion of the seal. So he said on that occasion, someone gave a whole shiur. But part of it was someone, a very tiny part, was this. Someone may wonder, why did I choose to give a shiur on brachas? Most of brachas is dinim derabbanan, with a little bit of dinim deraisa. So it was only Talmud Torah mederabbanan and bittul Torah mederaisa. Maybe I should have given shiur on zvachim and menachas, where ruba deruba is dinim deraisa. A little bit dinim derabbanan would have had more Talmud Torah deraisa and less bittul Torah deraisa and only Talmud Torah derabbanan. So he said he doesn't think that that's a valid question. He thinks when you learn Dinan Derabbanan, the Chayvus Hagava to observe it is only with the Rabbanan. That's why we have leniency speak of the Rabbanan, the Kula, and other Kulas. Chayvus Hagava to do the mitzvah with the Rabbanan is only with the Rabbanan, but a Chepsa Shalter, it is Menater. Where do you see that you can split between a Chepsa Shalter and a Chayvus Hagavra? You see such a mashal from Beishamai. The Gemara says in Brachas Daf Lamed Vav, Beishamai b'makom Misil lein Mishnah. When there's a machlokes, Beishamai and Misil, Beishamai were outvoted. Misil were in the majority. So the Gemara says, we don't follow Beishamai at all. Even Mishas Atrak, even though if it would have been another machlokes, we would have said, Eilu Eilu Dibili Kim Chaim, that Mishas Atrak, sometimes you can rely on the Shita Sayachid. And so for Garla B'chutzlarts, you can rely on the Shita Sayachid, even if in Eretz Yisrael you're Machmir, when the Chutzlarts you would be Mekel, and in Hilchus Avelis you would be Mekel, Allah they were Mekel V'Ovel, but in Mishamah B'Sil, because they were outvoted, Mishamah Machmir B'Sil, in the Mishnah, even though the original statement of Avela V'Yedah, David the King Chaim appears in the Gemara and Erevin, and Daf Yud Gimel, with respect to Mishamah B'Sil, but applies more to other Machloikis and then to Mishamah B'Sil. So nonetheless, the Gemara says, what does it mean? When you learn Beishamai Shita, it doesn't constitute Bittul Torah. A lot of times we spend a lot of time to understand Beishamai Shita. And not only because we want to understand Beishamai. If you don't fully understand Beishamai, so you don't know exactly what a Beishamai agree with Beishamai, what do they disagree? So that's important, always to learn Beishamai in order to understand what do they agree, whether they disagree. No, even without that. Even if it's not going to be Mevara Shita, it's Beishamai. There's a value in studying Beishamai Shita because Beishamai's opinions were based on Midrash HaTorah and Reshus Behem. Valid Midrash, we don't accept the way they darshan, but it's a valid Shita. So that constitutes a Chepsa Shalter. And when you learn Beishamai Shita, it's a mitzvah Talmud Torah, even though there's no Chavis Agavra at all. Zero. You don't observe it at all. So Rachel thought that the same is true regarding all the Dinim Derabbanan, that once they formulated the Dinim Derabbanan, it becomes a Chelik of Torah Shabal Peh on the level of their Eisen. So if one learns it, he's in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah Deraisa. Just the Chavis Agavra would only be Midir Rabbanan. So the truth of the matter would appear like that from the Rambam and the Haknamah to the Pirush HaMishnah. He's telling you what are the five sections of the Torah Shabbat Peh. So the fourth and the fifth are the Takonot Derabbanan and the Gzeris Derabbanan. Sounds like he thinks that all the Dinim Derabbanan become a chelik of the Torah Shabbat Peh on the level of Deraisa. This is perhaps the reason why the Gemara often has a cloud that called the Tikkun Rabbanan came Deraisa Tikkun. All the Dinim Derabbanan were instituted, patterned along the lines of Dinim Deraisa. They don't make up a Dinim Derabbanan Yesh Me'ayin from outer space. It has to correspond to some mahalach or another. I think I was talking here last week to a group. So I think we've been talking here about the. There's a din man haTorah if you're mahil on a mace, let's say we're outside. Here there's a roof on top. Let's say there's no roof on top. So if I put, let's say this is a dead body, I put my hand on top, so that's tumas ohel. I'm mahil on a mace. I mean, the Rabbanan made a din. If you're within dalat amas of the mace, you're ready to tamei. Because you may wave your hand on top of the mace, you may not realize that you became tamei tumas. Made a din the Rabbanan within dalat amas. So that din the Rabbanan within dalat amas is called the tikkun Rabbanan came the raisa tikkun. That's patterned after a din the raisa. There is a din deraisa of dalat amas around the mace, it's called fusa sakever. So the pattern, we were explaining that a certain Talmud Chacham and Eretz Yisrael gave a psak, and I thought it was 100% incorrect. I think I gave the shiur. Gave the shiur somewhere? Okay. So the Gemara has many, many, many cases like that. The Gemara sometimes, in Bava Basra, in the second Perek, Rabbi Chana Vasserman points out, the Gemara raises the question, what's the din deraisa? In a certain case, the Gemara proves the din deraisa from din derabbanan. How can you prove what the din deraisa was from a din derabbanan? Because they're assuming that the dinam derabbanan were instituted along the lines of dinam deraisa. So if you have such a din derabbanan, where did it come from? Must be that it was based on a din deraisa. We're reconstructing what the din deraisa was. This was a recurrent theme in Rav Soloveitchik Shiurim. It would often show like that. All the dinam derabbanan, what's the kein deraisa? What was it patterned after? Just to give one dogma, I remember there is a din in the Gemara that min haTorah, one is obligated, one is only obligated to be makris trumas and maisis, and whatever grows in Eretz Yisrael from the Peiros after meruach and rias pnei abayis. You're spending a year or two in Eretz Yisrael, you should know what these terms mean. Meruach means they have to remove all the psolas and piled it up in the pile, and then rias pnei abayis, you bring it into the barn, into the silo. And the Rabbanan, they made a din the Rabbanan that you're not allowed to eat tevel even before we ask Bnei Abayis. If you're going to eat it, achilas kevel. Eat achilas aroi, that's mutter. Eat achilas kevel, you're not allowed. We have a lot of din in the Rabbanan that you're not allowed to eat. Let's say basa b'chol of the Rabbanan. Chicken cooked with milk is only the Rabbanan. Did anybody ever hear? You're allowed to have a little nibble of chicken with milk. It's only us achilas kevel, mutter achilas aroi. The chelev that's us in the Rabbanan. Chute chelev. A lot of dinim the Rabbanan, dam shabishlas the Rabbanan, so many macholas asur the Rabbanan. Did anybody ever hear that it's only us achilas keva, achilas aroiz mutter? Where in the world did they get such a crazy idea that tevel is only us of achilas keva, mutter achilas aroiz? What in the world is it patterned after? So Rav Soloveitchik explained, no, that's the din deraisa, the reason why there's no din of tevel until after miroch and riyas pene abayis is because after miroch and riyas pene abayis, whatever you eat is called achilas keva. Whatever you eat before Miroch and Riyas Pana Abayis, it's all called Achilas Haroi. Whatever you eat Tevel after Miroch and Riyas Pana Abayis, then it's always called Achilas Keva. So the Rabbanan, they took that din and they said, no, but if you eat Achilas Keva, the whole list of things that are called Achilas Keva. If you salt it, if you cook it, if you eat it on Shabbos, if you eat a lot of it, all these things are Kaveya. Melech is Kaveya, Shabbos is Kavas, and so on. So I thought that was an interesting Einfall. Then we found 30 years after I heard it from Rav Soloveitchik, we found that the Rambam writes like that in the Pirush HaMishnayos. Most of the things that Rav Soloveitchik said. We start with big chidush, and then we learned some more. We found that the Pirush HaMishnah, the Pirush HaGemara, all the wonderful ideas that he said were black and white. Tosus used to give a famous mashal. Rav Soloveitchik used to give a famous mashal about Kavod Abrius. That in the Jewish religion, we believe that every person has chashivas. So there's a din that a kohen is not allowed to be mitamel ameis, and a kohen gadol not allowed to be mitamel ameis to the seven relatives. But if he's a meis mitzvah, even the kohen gadol has to be mitamel. So he used to give this mashal all the time in public drushes. He used to give the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur, and he was prepared to do the avodah on Yom Kippur. And then he bumps into a meis mitzvah, and there's no one else to take care of the meis mitzvah. So he has to be mitamel to the meis mitzvah, and he can't do the hakrabas hakrabonis. And Yom Kippur. Who do you think the meis mitzvah is? Some bum. A meis mitzvah, no one knows who it is, no one's there. Who is it going to be? A shikar, a bum who dropped dead, he has no relative, no one knows who he is. There's a mitzvah. So the Kohen Gadol who was preparing for the last 7 days to do that, but Yom Kippur has to be the Talmud and the meis mitzvah. You see, the chashivas are every individual person. Rav Soloveitchik gave this in the drasha. So he once wrote up the drasha in the Torah Journal, an American Hapyrus. So someone wanted to attack Rabbi Soloveitchik, so they didn't want to write explicitly. So they said it Biramiza, so they said the one who wrote up the Dvar Torah was an Amharitz, and then Rabbi Soloveitchik is an Amharitz, and the one who wrote it up is an Amharitz. And Gadol and Yom Kippur walks with the whole entourage. He doesn't walk by himself. And Yom Kippur, you don't bury any mason anyway. You're not allowed to handle a mason on Shabbos Yom Kippur. It's Muktzah. What is he talking about? The whole thing is wrong. So then, so they sent in a letter to the editor and Hapardis, so they printed this. And the next month, someone else sent in a letter. Rabbi Soloveitchik is just quoting Tosfos. Tosfos gives that marshal. And all Achronim, that's Kan Tosfos. Kan Gadol on Yom Kippur. He doesn't walk by himself. So when they reprinted this years later, they reprinted it, the Kan Gadol 7 days before Yom Kippur. Because they didn't want people to attack Rabbi Soloveitchik again. But Tosfos says, on Yom Kippur, the Kan Gadol. He used to say things we found later on. They're Mefurisha Rambam, they're Mefurisha Gemaris, Mefurisha Mishnayis. All of the drushes, all the shiurim, all the drushes. He was always quoting things befeish. So this is one of the ideas. Perhaps this is the reason why I called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein Deraisa Tikkun, why the Chachamim always patterned the Dinam Derabbanan along the lines of Dinam Deraisa, because they wanted all the Dinam Derabbanan to blend in, to become a chelek of the Torah Shebaal Peh, and not Torah. So you have to use the building blocks. The building blocks of Halacha. You can't invent new things, like I always say back there. People talk about determining the moment of death. So they talk about brain death. To give the whole definition, scientific definition, brain death. The Tanaim never knew these things about brain death. So that can't be the definition of death. The building blocks of halacha have to be concepts that the Tanaim were familiar with. Can't say that the brain stem stops functioning. Where does it say this in the Gemara? We can't invent a new concept. The building blocks of halacha have to be concepts that the Tanaim were familiar with. Can't invent new things. That's an important call. Call the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein Deraisa Tikkun. Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, the opening Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Moshe Kibbel Torah Sinai, Misrael, Yeshua, Yeshua, Liskeinim, etc. There was a Masorah of the Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal, you don't need Masorah. There it is. It's written down. Munach Lefanacha. The Torah Shebaal Peh had to be transmitted orally from generation to generation. And there's an interesting, famous comment that the Bar Tanura makes on that Mishnah at the beginning of Pirkei Avos. Why doesn't this Mishnah appear in the beginning of Brachas, the beginning of Shishis in the Mishnah? Why in the middle of Nezikin, the beginning of Pirkei Avos? He says, no, anyone who's learning Mishnayos believes that the Torah Shebaal Peh was transmitted from generation to generation. We believe in Torah Merashamayim, not only the Torah Shebaal Torah Shebaal Peh as well. But the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that even Pirkei Avos, one might have thought that these are ethics of our fathers. That's how people translate. Ethics of our fathers. These are nice ideas that the rabbis of the Tanaim invented. So the Mishnah introduces Pirkei Avos. No, Moshe Kibbutz Batar Mesina. Even our ethics is also the Kabbalah Mi Moshe Rabbeinu. That's in the Bir Agro. On Pirkei Avos, the Talmidim of the Gra quote in his name. Why is it called Avos? Why is Pirkei Avos called Avos? So at the beginning of Avos Kama, some of you may remember, it says, Arba Avos Nezikin. So Rashi writes, what's Avos? Avos Karla Hanach Techsid Mehad Yibikra. Whatever is Beferish and Chumash, that's called Avos. So the Vilna Gaon says, why is it called Avos? Not the ethics of our fathers, not the Tanoim. Avos means everything in Pirkei Avos is Mefurish and Tanach. So that's the whole premise of the whole Hagbir Agro. And others, Biragon Avos, he gives you the mocker every single Mishnah where it says it in Tanakh. Most in Mishle and Tehillim, and a lot of it is learned out from Chumash, but everything is Mefurish Bikro. Avos Karan Lahanach Techsiv Behed Yibikro. So the Mishnah says, Moshe Kibbutar Mesina, even Pirkei Avos, is also Lemoshe Mesina. Everything was a tradition from the earlier generations. And we have to understand that a Masorah is not only on cold halachas. There is a Masorah on attitudes as well. Not everything can be written down. The Tanoim and the Amoraim from one generation to the other, they gave attitudes to the Talmidim. How are you supposed to approach Halacha? How are you supposed to ask a Kasha? How are you supposed to give a Teretz? I remember when we learned in the Yeshiva, one of the colorful Rebbes was Rabbi Gorelick. He was a very colorful individual. So he says, Rav Elbala Soloveitchik used to give shiurim in Europe. And as it turns out, he had a long table, and there was only room for 11 seats around the table. So he gave permission to 11 Talmidim to come and learn by him. That's how many chairs there were. Sure. So I think two boys came from Radna, four boys came from Mir. They decided how many boys from every yeshiva. So they had. So Rabbi Gorelick is one of the lucky winners. He was chosen from the 400 Talmidim in Mir yeshiva. He was one of the lucky winners that he learned. So he felt that he knew how to learn. Rav Elbala gave a shiur, so he got up enough courage to ask a kasha in the middle. He said, Rav Elbala ignored him. I asked a good kasha. He looked at me, stared many times, he didn't answer the kasha. Then a few more times he asked the kasha, he didn't answer. He says, it took me over a month till I realized it's a different wavelength. I didn't understand the chalav what he was talking about. It was a different language, different terminology, different mahalach ha-machshava. You have to have a masorah. What's a kasha? Something that's just not kasha. Rav Elbala just stared at him and he just ignored him. He didn't say anything. You have to have a masor. What's called a teretz? How do you give a teretz? They tell over the story that once Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was away from home, and one of the other contemporaries, Abitzel Ponovich, came to visit. They stayed overnight and he left, and Rav Chaim came home the next day. So he felt bad that he missed Rabbi Tzel Panovich. He considered Rabbi Tzel Panovich was the greatest goy, tremendous goy in his generation. When they were looking for an assistant rabbi for Rabbi Shmuel Salant here, and Yerushalayim Shmuel Salant was getting old, and they needed an assistant rabbi to take over when he's going to retire, he's not going to live forever. So Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik suggested they should get Rabbi Tzel Panovich, because he was such a big balmachash. It was a tremendous big balmachash. It didn't happen. They took the Aderis. Rabbi Yodol Rabinovich told me he was the first father-in-law of Rabbi Cook. Rabbi Cook's first wife passed away, then he married her cousin. So this was the first father-in-law of Rabbi Cook, who was later the chief rabbi in Eretz Yisrael. So I think he came in 1901. The Aderis came from Europe, and he was the assistant rabbi, and then he died after around 5 years, and then Rabbi Shmuel Salant went on for another 15 years. He was a very old man when he died. So he was... On his matzeva, it says on the Aderis is matzeva shenisman alias Rabbi Yerushalayim. He was appointed to take over, but he didn't live so long. He died before he took over. He died. Reb Shmuel Salant went going on. So Reb Chaim Soloveitchik came home the next day, and his son Reb Avvala was home. So he asked him, "Ooh, did you speak to Reb Yitzchak and learn him?" He said, "Yeah." So he said, "Reb Chaim Soloveitchik used to be so excited, and you didn't chop his pilus. He's so sharp. He's so gebaldic." He said, "He didn't chop his pilus because he said, never does this. How come here it says black and here it says white?" He was a genius. He could tell you a teretz on any kasha in the world. So Reb Avvala Soloveitchik said, "But it wasn't mukhrach. You say a chilek, the chilek has to be in the Gemara somewhere. You want to say a chilek, the reason why this is black and that's why, because it is, it has to be a chilek that's mechalek. You have to have a mokher in the Gemara that you have a right to say such a chilek. You have to have a masora, what's a kasha? You have to have a masora, what's a teretz? You have to have a masora, how to pask and shaylas. You can't just look in the Achrayim and Rishayim and count 51, the majority of the pasuk say one way. You don't always count the majority like that. So how many pasuk can talk about the topic and the rabbis say this when the mid say that? We see pasuk like the right. You have to have a tradition. What's a kashin? What's a teretz? And how to pasuk and shaylas? You need traditions for all of this. So that's the whole idea. Moshe kibul Torah misina misorli Yoshua, and so on. They say they printed. They say the name Rav Chaim Soloveitchik that he told his children they shouldn't dare to say a svara in learning before they finish all of Shas with Rashi. Because every discipline, chemistry, physics, biology, halacha, every discipline has a self-contained system of logic. You can't just use your common sense logic. Common sense sometimes plays a role in halacha, but not always. So you have to know what's the Talmudic logic, what's the logic of the halacha. It's not illogical. Every system, every discipline has its own self-contained logic. So he told his children, before you finish all of Shas with Rashi, no one should dare to say a svara to explain a halacha. We have sources in Midrashim, quite a few Midrashim. Rav Chaim Volozhiner quotes a lot of these sources in the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim. A lot of sources where it says, "Kol ma she-talmid vasik osi l'chadish nemar lo l'moshe misina." Anything that a Talmud Vasik, sincere Talmud, any Chiddush that a sincere Talmud to come up with, was told to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. So the question is, how do you understand that? Don't we have Midrash HaTorah and Resh HaSpem? That a Talmud Chacham in every generation, if he knows how to use the Midrash, comes up with a new din. What do you mean? So, Rabbi Hirsch from Frankfurt was fighting reform. That's why originally he went to Frankfurt to fight the reform. So he established a school in Frankfurt, Talmud Torah. And one of the students grew up. One of the students was Gratz, who wrote a book on Jewish history. He was an Apikoros. He didn't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh and Hashemah. So he wrote that the whole Torah Shebaal Peh was invented by Hillel and Shammai. They made up the whole Torah Shebaal Peh. So Rabbi Hirsch attacked him. So he bent all the way backwards. And he says, every single din in the Mishnah Berurah, every line in the Mishnah Berurah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what it says. Kol ma she-talmid vasik osi l'chadish nemar lo l'moshe misina. So what did the Midrash HaTorah and Resh HaSpem all about? Does it mean that the Beis Din in every generation has the right and the ability to darshan on their own? No. The Midrash HaTorah and Resh HaSpem are just to remind us what the din is. It's only in case you forget what the din is, so you have a Midrash HaTorah to remind. But basically, every single din was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Rambam quotes such an opinion in his Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnah. He quotes this from the Gaonim. And he says it's an embarrassment for the Jewish people to accept such a position. You learn Gemara, every page in the Gemara there is a machlokes. So if every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu, so every machlokes is based on shikra. They simply forgot. So they forgot every single din. This machlokes came out on every single page in Shas. They forgot everything that was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the most precious thing that the Jewish people has. It is the Torah. They forgot everything. So the Rambam says it doesn't mean that at all. It means kol ma she-talmid vasik osi l'chadish nemar lo l'moshe misina. Everything is contained within the Torah. The text of the Chumash was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, dictated word for word, letter for letter. Then Moshe Rabbeinu was given the Midrash HaTorah and the Resh HaSpem, and he was told that in all the future generations, the Rabbanim should darshan with the Midrash HaTorah and the Resh HaSpem. So then you can have a machlokes. How should you apply the Midrash HaTorah and the Resh HaSpem? So one chacham thinks like this, and one chacham thinks like that. So that's what we mean. In all honesty, elu li'elu, divrei elokim chayim. From his perspective, you can darshan like that. From another perspective, you can darshan like that. That's Eilu v'Eilu Dibur Kamsa means, in all truth, they both have validity, because each one is, let's say in this room, there are a lot of students sitting, there are chairs, and there are fixtures on the wall, and there's a table, and a stand, and a cup of tea over here, and different things. So I'm standing, I see everything in the room, with my glasses, I have 20/20 vision, and I see everything in the room from one perspective. If someone looking from the window over there has a different perspective, if someone looking from the window over there has a different perspective, and the students in the back have a different perspective. Everybody sees the exact same thing, but from a different perspective. All the perspectives are correct. You're looking from a different angle, so you see the exact same thing from a different perspective. So if you see all the halachas, from each one looks from a different perspective, then there's a great area of halacha. It has elements of yisa, elements of heta, elements of psul, elements of heksha, and so on. Elements of chiyuv, elements of tur. So each person looking from his own perspective is correct. All the perspectives are correct. So that's what it means. Eilu v'eilu. If you say like the Goyim said, that every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu, I mean, there's no great area in halacha, there's no room for discussion. So what does it mean, Eilu v'eilu divrei kim chayim? So the Sefer HaChinuch says what it means. They really, Bishamai were right. Bishamai were sharper than the Messiah, the Gemara said. Bishamai were mechara diktvei. So really, they were right. Klap Bishmai Galio, they were really right. But under the circumstances, Bishamai were in the majority, so the Rabbeinu Shalom said, let's not have anarchy. Let's not have every person do whatever he thinks is correct. Have everybody follow the majority. So even if the majority is wrong, the Baruch Shalom says, Kindalach, that's what I want you to do. Follow the majority, so in order that you shouldn't be machlokes. So in a certain sense, it's Eilu v'Eilu divrei kim chayim. The Beis Shammai are really right, but under the circumstances, follow the Beis Shammai. That's why they quote a passage from the Zohar that Allah say, love it, the din is going to be like Beis Shammai, and the Gemara doesn't say that. The Zohar says like that. Lots of love, the din is going to be like Bisham, because everybody will realize that they were really young. But according to the way the Rambam learns, that the Beis Din in every generation has the right to develop a new din. It's not that every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu, and every machlok is based on shikha. No. Eilu v'eilu v'eilu means there are gray areas of halacha. That's how the Ritvo comments on that Gemara. What does it mean? Eilu v'eilu divrei kim chayim. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu is on his Sinai. He asked the Rebbeinu Shalom, what's the din? Rebbeinu Shalom said, under these circumstances, it's kosher. Under those circumstances, it's treif. What about under these circumstances? Rebbeinu Shalom says, has elements of Isa, elements of Heter. It's a great area of halacha. I leave it up to the Chachma HaTorah Shebechol Dorador to determine whether they think the elements of Heter outweigh the elements of Isa based on their perspective. So you can have different people looking from different perspectives. And Eilu v'eilu divrei kim chayim. They're all correct. So that's what is usually assumed. Rabbi Hirsch's opinion that every single din, literally, take it literally, call Masha Talmud Basak Basak Chadish Damel Moshe Mesinai. That's not the generally accepted opinion. That's the Shitas Hagoinim, they thought like that, and the Rambam attacks it tremendously. In fact, not only have we accepted the Rambam's view about this, there's even a Machlokes and Achronim when a Bezin comes up with a new din. 1,000 years after Maimon HaSinai, when the Bezin comes up with a new din, do we assume that the din was really like this from the days of Maimon HaSinai? Or do you say no, just like the Bezin invents a din med Rabbanon? So the din med Rabbanon is only noy v'kanal habo. They can't introduce a din med Rabbanon ex post facto. So maybe even a din that the Bezin is mechadish based on the Midrash HaTorah and the Reshes Ben, maybe that din is only noy v'kanal habo. Maybe that din is not noy v'mafrei m'shas matan tur. The Bezin was Mechadish the Din, but the Midrash HaTorah and the Reshes Ben, so it's only Noi, Mikanal HaBo. The Chido wrote many Svarim. The Chido was a Svardish Goyin who lived in the 1700s. His name is Rav Chaim Yosef David Azulai. He was a Meshulach for the Kehila, for the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. He was traveling in Europe. He lived in Europe the last years of his life. And he raised money for the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. He wrote many, many Svarim. Wherever he went, he used to always visit the royal libraries, and whenever he saw a ksavya that no one else had access to, he would copy down. Before the Me'iris were available to everybody, he copied down all the major lines in all the Me'iris. So that's why everybody knew the chidushim from the Me'iri before they printed them, because the chidor always quoted all the chidushim. So the chidor in the 83 svarim that he wrote, or something like that, a lot of the svardim have a whole bookcase of all the svarim of the chidor. Already swarm, I think. So yeah, and every sefer is a sefer b'fnei atzmo. He wrote an encyclopedia of halacha, encyclopedia of agada, encyclopedia of the Kabbalah, all kinds of encyclopedias he wrote. unbelievable. So he wrote a separate sefer, Simchas HaRegel, Amigilas Ruach. And the sefer Simchas HaRegel, he talks about this machlokes achrenim, major machlokes achrenim. When a Bezdin, 2,000 years after Maan Hasein, Bezdin comes up with a new din deraisa based on Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes, but maybe the din is only noig mikana lahabo. Maybe you don't say the din is noig ula machrenim shas matan ter. The Chazon Ish seems that he held like that. In the biography of the Chazon Ish, years ago, people had more time. It's Katna Hashiurim. Now people don't have patience to read 5-volume biographies. People are so busy now that they have to read a 1-volume biography. But years ago, people had time. They used to read the 5-volume biography, the Pe'er Ador, about the Chazon Ish. So they quote that on one occasion, the Chazon Ish was traveling around to the different communities in Eretz Yisrael to try to be mechazik and shmiras mitzvahs. So somebody asked him Akasha, there's a medrash on the pasuk in Koheles. The pasuk in Koheles says that in the beginning of Koheles, in the first chapter, so it says, Ein kol chodesh tachas ha-shemesh. Nothing new under the sun. A literal translation, nothing new under the sun. What does it mean? History repeats itself. People make the same mistakes over again. You can learn from the past about the future, how things are going to go. Nothing new. So Rashi, in his commentary on Koheles, quotes the comment from the Medrash Rabbah, but that's not what it means. The Shemesh means the Torah, because the Torah gives us illumination. The Torah enlightens the world. You look around in the world, so the Pasuk in Baruch HaNafshi says, Toshis Cheshet Lihi Loila, Boisim Raskal Chaisa Yor. So the Gemara says in Bab Metziah, what is that a description of? Toshis Cheshet Lihi Loila, Zeho Elam Azeh, Shadayim Ala Loila. This world is like darkness in the middle of the night. In what way is it dark? Why is it so dark? The sun is shining, we can see. So the Mesillas Hashem explains, this world is like a darkness in the middle of the night. A lot of times, you see an Avera, you think it's a mitzvah. You say mitzvah, you think it's an Avera. People are in the dark. What are you supposed to do? So the Torah illuminates. We pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He should give us enlightenment. We should learn the Torah and we'll know what's right and what's wrong. So the Torah is referred to as the Shemesh. So the Pasuk says in Koheles, Ein kol chodesh tachas ha-shemesh. In physics, in chemistry, in biology, in medicine, there's no chidushim. Chidushim is only in Torah. Outside, tachas Hashem, outside of Torah, there's no chidushim. There's only chidushim in Torah. So the Chazanish, what do you mean? When the children learn ksubis, they use the exact same text that your grandfathers used, the great grandfathers, the same Gemara ksubis, all the way back, till 1500 years ago. When you learn Tanakh, it's the same text. When you go to school, you learn chemistry, you can't use the textbook from 5 years ago. They discovered so much in chemistry, they had to revamp the whole thing. They present everything. In medicine, everything keeps on changing. And in physics, everything, when they come up with a new discovery, so they have to rewrite everything. Mechodosh, lisidika, that's the tofu, that's the cloud, that's the earth, mina cloud. They rewrite everything. So the chidushim are always in the other areas, in physics, in chemistry, biology. In Torah, there's no chidushim. In Torah, it's always the same text of the Gemara. Maybe you have some additional insights, but that's called chiddush. You say, there's no chiddush. Ain't kol chiddush. Outside of the area of learning, there's no chiddush. There are chiddushim all over. So the Chazon Ish explained, whatever they discover in physics, and chemistry, biology, mathematics, and whatever, it was all there in Sheshes Mei Bereshis. They're just discovering what was there. And they make all the new inventions. They have the iPhones and the e-phones and the television and jet planes and everything that they have. Everything is based on the media. Everything is based on the Bria and Sheshes Mei Bereshis. If Adam Rishon would have known what was going on, he would have been able to make all of these things also. There's no chidushim. They're just discovering what was there all along. And they're making applications of the rules of nature that were there from Sheshes Mei Bereshis. But in Torah, there's mamash chidush. Moshe Rabbeinu was given the Torah, and in every generation, the Rabbanu come up with new dinim. There are mamash new dinim. When the darshan say, he seems to be assuming in his interpretation that the dinam deraisa no is only mikana labo. When the bezin comes up with a new chiddush, kol ma shetamid basik gosid lachadush nemal on the Moshe Messina, it doesn't mean that the din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. It means that klolim were there, everything is included within the Torah, but the Torah develops in every generation. And when the new Talmud Chacham, the new generation comes up with a new chiddush, the din is only noig mikana labo. It's like a takana de rabbanon is only noig mikana labo. So the chidush halacha that the Talmid Chachamim in every generation of Mechadish were also only annoyed mikan Allah habo. Part of the development of Torah Shabbat Peh, there's so many leadership turn in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says in Bcharis in the first paragraph that the Tanoim knew how to darshan midrash HaTorah Nidresh and how to figure out principles and biology from the Chumash. They knew how long it takes for a snake to give birth. The Tanoim in the days of the time, they didn't know how to do that. The earlier Tanoim knew. In the days of the Amoraim, the days of the later days, they don't know even how to use the midrash HaTorah Nidresh. Klal HaPrat. Some of those midas in the Brisa Red Bishmol never appear in the Gemara. The Gemara never has them. This is all from the Sifrua. Some of these never appear in the Gemara anywhere. These midas are never used. We don't use any of those midas there. We don't know. Rav Moshe Feinstein has chuvas. Everybody else, all the Gedolim have chuvas. No one knows how to use those midas. The mida that we use, basically, is mamatzin. We're medama, the Gemara says, the ikur, kolotar kula, is we're medama milsa la milsa. We know what the din is in Shulchan Aruch. In this case, that case, the other case, the other case. Now we have a new case that's not described in Shulchan Aruch. So we have to be medama milsa la milsa. In the case that we're dealing with, is it more similar to Sif Aleph or to Sif Beis or to Sif Gimel? Under these circumstances, the din is one way. Those circumstances, the din is like that. Basa b'chol, sometimes also b'hano, sometimes also b'chila mutabana, sometimes mutabachila. Depends what the circumstances are. So you have to work at it in any given case. Is your case similar to A, B, or C? Which sif is it similar to? So that's called medama milsa le milsa. That's what Benamah has a lotion. Kala tarakula is dimuye milsa le milsa, medama milsa le milsa. So the Gemara has a klal. One of the klalim is kala tarakula inyan echa. The Tosefta in Sanhedrin has a machlekes ramena chachamim. The Rebbe is giving a shiur on the first parak in Ksubis, and the Talmud raises in, he has a kasha. He starts talking something about Machzah Shekel. So the Rebbe says, but we're not talking about that. Why did you waste everybody's time with your kasha? It has nothing to do with what we're talking about. So the Tosefta says, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, the Talmud has to apologize and say, Shaloi ki inyan shalti. The question, I guess, was out of place. It has nothing to do with what we're learning. Rav Meir disagrees in the Tosefta. We don't pass like Rav Meir. Rav Meir disagrees and he says, Kola tarakul in yenecha, machta shekel fits in. He doesn't have to apologize. So even though we don't pass like Rav Meir, we pass and the Talmud has to apologize and say, Shaloki in yisha'alti. But the klal of Rav Meir is correct. We do assume, Kola tarakul in yenecha. We assume all the dinim of the Torah blend in to make one big picture, one big mosaic. Everything blends in. It's one big pattern, but not exactly one big pattern. There are three patterns. The Pasuk says in Chumash, in Devarim, Ki Yipolim Mimcha Dov Al HaMishma, Bein Dam LaDam, Bein Din LaDin, Bein Mega LaMega. So in the Aderes Eliyo, that's the Sefer that the Talmidei HaGra quote things from the Vilna Gaon. Most of the Svarim of the Vilna Gaon were written by his Talmidei. He wrote the Biurim on the Zohar, and he wrote the Biurim on the Shulchan Aruch, and all the other things, in Chumash and Agamar, everything was written by the Talmidei. So the quote from the Vilna Gaon on that Pasuk, Kan, in this Pasuk, Kila HaTorah, called Gimel Chelke HaTorah. The three areas of halacha. One is bein dam ladam letzisa v'heter, whether the woman is in need or not. Bein din ladin is leading mamad is a separate area. Bein nega and nega is tuma v'tara. So within isa v'heter, kala tarakula in yinecha. Everything blends in to be one big picture. That's what the Gemara has very often. We learn that midin echad l'chaveir. We learn that mamatzin midin echad l'chaveir. Then you have midin mamad is. Everything fits into one pattern. You have tuma v'tara. Everything fits into one pattern. So that's why the Gemara has three klalim. Gemara says, Isa mituma lo yafina. You can't learn out of mamatzinu, Isa veheta from tuma vetara, because tuma vetara is one picture, Isa veheta is another picture, and then the Gemara has in brachas, Isur mi mamona lo yafina. Dini mamonis is a separate area, Isa veheta is a separate area, tuma vetara is a separate area. But within that area, you can be dan midinecha machaver, because all the dinim blend into one. A lot of times the Gemara will quote, we'll establish a din in the beginning of Sukkah, the Gemara learns out a din in Sukkah from a din in Mikveh. What are they making a tzushtel from Mikveh to Sukkah? The assumption is that all the din and blood them together. The Gemara will learn out a din from a Zav to a Sharamuat. Zav to a Sharamuat, yeah. All the din fit into one big system, one big pattern. So that's the main midah that we use today, is the midah of Mamatzina, to be Medam and Milsa the Milsa, on the assumption that Kol HaTorah Kulo Inyan Echad, everything fits into place. They say the name Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. The Brisa Rabbi Shmuel says the Yud Gimel Midah Shatarin the Dreshes Man, but there's a 14th Midah. It's the Midah of Svar. Yeah, the Gemara says in a few places Lama Likro Svarahu. If something is such an obvious Svara, then you don't even need a pasuk to indicate what the din is. But Svara, that's what Rav Chaim said. Svara, you have to be attuned. The Talmud has its own is a self-contained discipline, has its own style of logic. You have to be attuned to Talmudic logic. You can't use logic from physics and logic from chemistry and logic from biology. You can't use logic from biology and physics. You can't use sines and cosines if you're talking about biology. That fits into mathematics. Each discipline has its own terminology and its own building blocks and its own style of logic. You can't use the logic from one on the other. So true, there is a midah of svara, and svara doesn't need a pasuk kolomeli kros svarahu, but the svara has to be Talmudic svara. It can't just be a common sense svara. There's a famous Rashi on Chumash. Rashi talks about the big day kuhuna. So it's very unclear what the big day kuhuna looked like. What was the me'il like? So Rashi writes in one place, Libi Armali, my heart tells me, he thinks that it looked like the cloaks that the women used to wear when they used to ride horseback in France. So how did Rashi look at the girls riding horseback? Okay, it's a good question. So in Yiddish folklore, they say, they ask a kasha and Rashi, how does it say, Libi Armali? You're not allowed to follow your heart. It says, Lo Sassu Rachay Lelachem Rachay Einechem. It's a joke, of course. Lo Sassu Rachay means not to worship Abba Dazar. It does mean you're not allowed to follow what your heart tells you. But in Yiddish folklore, they ask, how can Rashi say, Libi Armali, state Lo Sassu Rachay Lelachem Rachay Einechem? So the answer they give is, it says in Mishle, Kosve Maluach Lebecha, you should engrave the Torah on your hearts. If a person fulfills the instruction of Mishle, Kasra Aduach Lebecha, then Libi Emeli is acceptable because his heart is full of Torah. So his heart is telling us what the Torah says. There's a Sefer Chutam Shulosh, which is the official biography of the three generations. There was Rabbi Kivevia, was the father-in-law of the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer had three wives, one after the other. First wife died, the second wife died. So his second wife was the daughter of Rabbi Kivevia. The Chassam Sofer was 1 year younger than his father-in-law, and he died 1 year after Rebbe Kivevia. But he was a son-in-law. He was Rebbe Kivevia's son-in-law, in the Zivik Shem. So in the Chutam Shulosh, they have the three generations, they have the biography of Rebbe Kivevia, then the biography of the Chassam Sofer, and then the biography of the Ksav Sofer, one of the sons of the Chassam Sofer, who took over his Rabbanis in Presburg. And it was written by one of the sons, one of the grandsons of Chassam Sofer, the son of the Chassam Sofer. So they have all the official stories, all the family stories in that book. So they have the story when the Chassam Sofer used to write tshuvas. People used to send the letters from all over Europe, and he used to write a tshuva, so he wouldn't mail it himself. He would leave it on the table, leave it on one table in the living room, and it was understood that his son, the Chassam Sofer, would read it over. If he thought it was worthy, he would put it in an envelope and mail it. And if he didn't agree, he said he would let his father know. But out of derech eretz, he didn't want to tell his father, I think you made a mistake. So he would just leave it there on the table. He wouldn't mail it. And when the father would see that it's still sitting there, he would ask him, how come you didn't mail it? So then they would go into a whole discussion. So once the Chassam Sofer wrote a tshuva, and he was sitting there for a week. So he asked the son, how come you didn't send it in the mail? He says, the one who sent the shaila is a very prominent Talmud Chacham. He knows how to learn very well. He asked the shaila, what's the din? He said, I can see A, I can see B, Rochelle says. So you wrote, I think it's A. And you brought Rayas, Shvacher Rayas. The guy's a big Talmud Chacham. He didn't really prove the point. So see, for this show, you have to write something meatier than that. Not just, I think the din is like this, and he brings a flimsy riot. So that some Sofer said, this is what they quote, in every generation, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam gives the key to Psak Halacha, to one individual. He thought that in his generation he was given the mafteh, the shlissel, the psak halacha. He says the ikar psak halacha is from intuition. If a person is so full of Torah, they'll always be libi yamali. Then I look in the Gemara to see if there are any contradictions. He said over here, my main koyach psak really is libi yamali. Main koyach psak is the intuition, the intuitive feeling that I have. So I wrote the letter. I think the din is like this and that. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say. I close with this. Rav Soloveitchik, when his uncle Rav Avala passed away, so he delivered a major hesped in the yeshiva, which he wrote up later on. and everybody read it. They enjoyed it. He wrote it up in Hebrew. It was very beautiful. So he wrote, the Gemara has a comment on the pasuk, Torah sealed on a Moshe, Marosha, Kehilas Yaakov. Marosha means that the Torah is the heritage of the Jewish people. We transmit it from generation to generation. Marosha. So the Gemara has a comment, Torah sealed on a Moshe, Urosa. All the Jewish people are married to the Torah. Everybody has heirs in the Torah. They're all married to the Torah. So Rav Soloveitchik said, yeah, everybody's married to the Torah, but there's a difference between Erisin and Yisun. You learn in Ksubis now. So the two Masichtas, Kiddushin is about Erisin, and Ksubis is the Masichta about Nisuin. Erisin is a nation sish alo b'beis habal. And Nisuin is a nation sish b'beis habal. And you have it Russia, beis is a wishto. So the Gemara says in Yuman, Rav Yigimah, that only applies to an Nisuin. Kangodl says, Chifa b'adol b'ad beisa, Kangodl has to be married. And Yom Kippur has to be married with Nisuin. Not sufficient if he has erisin. And Rashi and Kedusha writes on Daf Yud Gimel, the pasuk says that a kohen is allowed to eat truma kol tor bebeischa yochel kodesh kol tor bebeischa refers to eishes kohen nesuah, because beis zelisht is only nesuah. The Gemara has a whole discussion in Ksuvah. How do you know that even arusa, even if eishes kohen arusa is achelus b'trum, you need a new pasuk, but that a nesuah is achelus b'trum is because the pasuk is kol tor bebeischa. So there's a difference between arusa and eishes ish shelo bebeis habal. And Nisuin is Hachnasa L'Veshusa, and Eishesish B'Veis HaBal. You have to do Hachnasa L'Veshusa. So he said, there's a difference between an Arusa and an Nisua. Arusa, they're married, but they don't really know each other so well. And Nisua, they're living together. So he's, Moshe was, he's living with his wife, he's married to his wife so many years already. He already knows in advance what his wife's reaction will be to any given situation. He knows intuitively. Before it happens, if this is going to happen, his wife's reaction will be like this, and his wife knows already what his reaction will be. So he said, everybody has erisin with the Torah, but my uncle, the great Gedolim, and all the generation had nisuin with the Torah, and they would know intuitively what the din is. I remember when Rabbi Soloveitchik was not healthy the last years, so one of the rabbis from the rabbinical council used to be the chairman of the kashrus board of the RCA, Rabbi Manny Holzer. So he once had up, so he was asking me a shayla in kashrus. So what do I think the difference? I said, I don't know, I have to look it up. So he said, but what do you think before you look it up? So I said, I don't know, I have to look it up. But before you look it up, what do you intuitively? Like? I said, I don't know, I have to look it up. So he says, but I used to ask Rabbi Soloveitchik. He always said, tell me what he think. I said, Rabbi Soloveitchik was Rabbi Soloveitchik. He had an intuition. I said, I'm not that Rabbi Soloveitchik, it's Madrega. The great Gedolim have an intuition what the din should be. They quote in the biography of the Chazon Ish, they quote, Chazon Ish would sometimes give a psak on something, so they would ask him, where does it say? He would point to his heart. It says over there, if a person fulfills the instructions of Mishle, Kasvam Aluach Libecha, then his heart will be full of Torah. So then he will have an intuition. He will intuitively be able to understand what the din should be. There's a lot more to Torah Shemal Peh, so we have a whole series of lectures. Have atzlochem.
Ready. We're going to start the next session in 5 minutes. The refreshments upstairs.
We'll
do it. We'll post it upstairs. We'll be here. We're going to get it on our
own. We'll do it. Tell them what I think. We'll do it.
Thank you. That's what should be possible.
He knows that they have side effects, but he knows that he feels that that's what he needs. My students be learning Derek in line.
I have regards to you from my grandfather, Rabbi Sadowski.
Oh, I guess so.